Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. We want to remind you guys, all you listeners out there, that we are available on CairoRadio.com and also on the all-new Cairo Radio app for your smartphones and your tablets. You can go to the Android Marketplace or you can go to iTunes and download the Cairo Radio app completely free, and you can stream this show amongst many, many others and stream live radio, mind you, here from Seattle, straight to your little device, your little handheld device. And it's completely free, guys. Completely free. It's awesome. Go do it. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 162 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. We've got a great show planned for you this week, people. The band Ravenna Woods will be here shortly, joining me in Dining Room Studios version 2.0. It's going to be a great show. We talk about a whole range of stuff. A whole range of stuff. From horror movies, what makes us like horror movies, to some horror movie reviews that I'm going to need to check out. Also, we talk about this new album that Ravenna Woods has out. Well, it's not out yet. You can't even find it anywhere yet. It's not going to be out for a couple months. It's called The Jackals, and we have got your first listen to the Ravenna Woods album, The Jackals. It's so good. I've had a chance to listen to the whole thing now, and it's fantastic. It is so good. This is like, I don't know. I don't know if this is a healthy endorsement that Ravenna Woods would want me to say on air, but it is my 2-year-old daughter's favorite album. Not this one, but their last one, Valley of the Headless Men, is her favorite music of all time. And whenever the stereo is on, that has to be playing. And I'm still not tired of it. It's their old album, Valley of the Headless Men, is amazing. And this new album, The Jackals, is showing it up, man. It's really, really good. So we'll grace your ears with some of those tunes here shortly. First, of course, we gotta, maybe we should wait on the plugs, huh? Let's wait on the plugs. In Seattle, we have these bike lanes, right? It was this grand idea by the mayor, of our fair town, to put in these bike lanes, and sometimes they're like off to the shoulder, sometimes they're just kind of next to the shoulder, and they've got this 3-foot swath that they can use bicycling in the city. Now, I love bicyclists. I love bicycling. My family is full of bicyclists, but there are some really bad bicyclists out there, as well as drivers, right? Drivers of cars. There's bad seeds on both sides of the apple tree. That's right. I used a stupid analogy that I just made up. I had an experience with one of the bad bicyclers earlier last week, Monday to be exact. Yeah, had a really bad experience with one, but it was interesting. It was interesting, and I'd love to get your guys' take on it. And remember, you can email me, aaron@air-raid.net. That's aaron@air-raid.net. If you've had a similar experience, we want to hear about it because we'll read them on air. And we love getting mail from you guys. Anyway, so I'm driving in my work truck, right? And I always obey the traffic laws when I'm in my work truck because it has a big, giant emblem of the place of work on the side of the truck, and I don't want to get in trouble. That's bad juju, man. I could lose my job, possibly, or get suspended or something like that. You know, I don't even want to test those waters. So I'm driving and I come to this four-way intersection, of which I am at a yield sign, right? And so, you know, I'm good at driving. Let me give you a little bit of history. I am a good driver. I've had two speeding tickets in my life. Two speeding tickets. Once I was in college, and the second one was dropped. This was a couple years ago. I was dropped by the police officer because he looked at my record and he was like, "You are squeaky clean. Let's keep you that way." And that was amazing. He gave me a warning. He let me go. I guess that's not really a ticket. So I've only had one speeding ticket. I've also been in one accident, and that was because the guy in front of me stopped short to take an illegal left-hand turn. And I was following behind him. I was two car lengths back behind him, just like you're supposed to be. But I was looking at my radio. I was fiddling with the radio. I know this stretch of road really well. And this guy stopped to make a illegal left turn. And I couldn't stop fast enough. So I rear-ended him. And I got in trouble. I don't know. That's just the way things go in Washington. That's how the cookie crumbles, apparently. But anyway, so I'm a good driver. So I stop at this yield sign. I look both ways before I approach into the intersection. And then I get going. And all of a sudden, there's a bicyclist just bombing down this hill. He comes around this corner. He just bombs down this hill and almost hits me. And I stop right in the middle of the intersection. He goes by me. And as he goes by, he flips me off, tells me to go fuck myself, and then proceeds on, right? And I'm just like, what? Like, my window was down, and I think I even yelled, like, what? You know, like, because it wasn't my fault. Dude, you just came out of nowhere. You came around a corner and down a hill. I had a yield sign, yes, but you were not anywhere in the vicinity, and you should be riding at the speed limit, right? Obey the traffic laws, right? Yeah. And so anyway, my mouth is agape. I am open-mouthed. I'm driving behind this bicyclist, and we come to the second four-way stop. Now, this is an actual four-way stop. There are four stop signs, and we all have to stop at this thing. Now, I'm right behind him, mind you, and he turns around, and he starts to get off his bike, and I'm like, oh, great. What's going to happen now, right? He's just going to berate me. By the way, this guy is like 60 years old, maybe even 65. Could be approaching 70. He's an older man, and he was visibly very, very ticked off for no apparent reason, because it was not my fault. I swear, it was not my fault. And so he's getting off his bike, and he just proceeds to just fall straight onto the sidewalk, bike upon him. He's got those little click-in shoes, and he just falls straight onto the sidewalk. And at this point, I am thinking in my mind, I was like, I want to laugh at him. I want to laugh at him very loudly because my windows are open. I know he could hear me. And I want to just repay him in laughter, right, at his situation, because he is so mad that he's made himself fall off his bike onto the sidewalk. And so, oh, my God, I had all this stuff. And, like, I'm also thinking, like, whoa, should I get out? He's an older man. Should I get out of the car and help him up? Should I give him some assistance? What should I do? And I'm just, so what my brain does is just, nope, just sit there as you were, with your mouth open, just totally flabbergasted at the situation, right? Just watching him just scramble to get back up on his bike. So he gets back up on his bike. He turns around, and he goes, "I apologize for swearing." And he takes off into the day. Oh, my God. Karma is a great thing, right, people? Karma is a fantastic tool. Wow. And it couldn't, I mean, that just made my day. Like, the rest of my Monday was so amazing. I had never seen something like that before in my life. I'm so glad that I got to experience it. And if you've had similar situations, please email us. Email us if you're a bicyclist too, will you? Because I got to get some more information. I don't ride to work. It's a little bit of a long ride for me, and I get up really early. It's just not my thing. Plus, I'm a lazy person. But I always respect the bicyclists on the road, right? I always respect them because they're doing something for the environment. They're saving gas, and they're using their body to propel them through the streets. I respect that. I respect that. But don't be a dick. Don't be a dick. I'm not a dick driver. Not every driver is a dick, and not every bicyclist is a dick. But there are a lot of dicks out there, right? And they're all over. Moral of the story: don't fall off your bike in front of somebody you're trying to yell at or scold. Just don't do it. It really negates your point. Good moral, right? Good take-home message from the Air Raid Podcast, episode 162. Oh my God, people, we have got some great music for you. Some great music from a great band. I love this band, Ravenna Woods. Their new album, The Jackals, is coming out in a couple months. Not sure when, but they allude to it during this episode. We talk about a lot of great stuff. I think you're really, really going to enjoy it. And you're going to be able to hear new music that you're not going to be able to hear anywhere else, at least for a couple months. It's going to be great, right? Yeah. Yeah, buddy. See what I do for you guys? Hey, since I'm doing that for you guys can do me a solid by going to the iTunes store and looking up the Air Raid Podcast and rating and reviewing the show, because it really does help. It helps us continue to get great guests like Ravenna Woods on, like Dana Gould, like Pete Holmes, like David Bazan of Pedro the Lion, like all those people, like Macklemore. Yeah, that's the ticket. That's right, like Macklemore. Yeah, and we've got our most recent 20 episodes up on the iTunes store, and you can download them all there. Now, if you want to go and check out our archived page, where we have episodes with Macklemore and people like Bob Saget and Dana Gould, Pete Holmes, Aisha Tyler, Brian Posehn, bands like, let's see, John Roderick of the Long Winters, the Grand Archives, Pickwick, who else? Lots of good stuff. People, Macklemore, did I already say that? Mudhoney, Presidents of the United States of America. I mean, come on. It's all there at www.air-raid.net. Just click on the Archives tab, and you can go and stream all the episodes from there. And I think you can even download them there. I'm not sure. But there's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff there to do, people, at the website, www.air-raid.net. Go check it out. Okay. Let's do this. Let's go to our first musical break. Let's see. This is off the album The Jackals by Ravenna Woods. This song is called Eidetic. Eidetic? Yeah, Eidetic. I think that's how you say that. And we'll be back with Brantley and Chris of Ravenna Woods to talk about a whole slew of things. All right. We'll be back in a moment, people. Stay with us.
Running up the walls, lose your grip and fall. First one to hit the ground is gone. You're lost. Now you're disturbed.
So what I wanted to tell you about, the last time you were on the show, Chris, we talked heavily about the war in the Pacific. And like, we had just moved into this new house, right? And I don't know why, I don't know what the reason was. You're looking at me like it's going to be like a ghost story, but it has nothing to do with ghosts. But I had a nightmare, like one of the first nights we stayed here, and it was about Robert Englund.
Mm.
Nice.
Was Robert Englund, for those who don't know, was played Freddy Krueger, and
masterful
in all the movies except for the most recent one. But He was just laying in bed next to me and my wife and like looking up at me through the covers, just with his, you know, crazy face. And he was like, he kept on like touching my head, and I had to like get up out of bed and turn on the lights because it freaked me out. So yeah, I had to sleep with the light on. I am 33 years old. I had to sleep with the light on in the new house because I was so scared.
Is
Robert Englund or Freddy Krueger himself?
Yeah, no, it was Robert Englund.
Oh, he was the actor.
Yeah, it was the actor. It was the actor. He didn't even have any of the Freddy Krueger stuff on.
He's horrifying by himself.
He is. He's a creepy looking dude.
Well, he fucked himself by doing that role. Like, he'll never.
No.
Oh, yeah. He's totally. Yeah.
He's
totally
literally like.
But he's not a good actor anyway, though. Have you seen him in other stuff?
I have. I've seen him in like horror movies. Like in kind
other
of like
horror,
movies.
Yeah, yeah. 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 Totally.
And he. I feel like he overdoes it, kind of.
Well, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's a terrible actor. That's what terrible actors do.
Sorry, Robert. We're actually really good pals.
Chris and Brantley of the band Ravenna Woods joining me here in Dining Room Studios version 2.0 here at the new Roden household. We're going to be featuring music today off of Ravenna Woods' new album that's not out yet. And it's called The Jackals. And I'm super excited about it. I was telling you guys in the kitchen that like you were like my 2-year-old daughter's favorite band. Whenever we turn on the music in the house, we've got to listen to Valley of the Headless Men, which
was
your last album.
That's awesome. It's good to know that someday soon we'll be in competition against Bieber for the attention of your daughter.
He will
hopefully
Justin Bieber
is dead by then.
Very soon. So, but you know, it's one thing, and this is what I wanted to tell you guys too. Like, it's very telling of how good a band is and how good the music is because I haven't yet got tired of it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is very
That's
good
plus.
To hear.
Big compliment, right?
Very big.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me here.
Thanks
you guys
for
are you guys are skipping the Bumbershoot Festival.
Who needs
to
it?
To come
we actually
into
were
my
to
living
play
room
today, but we
really?
Came here instead.
Yep.
Shut up.
That's
just for you.
It's true. Yeah. We told them to stick their check for $50,000 up Kiarina's ass.
We were actually going to play after Death Cab.
Yeah,
Death Cab was opening up for you guys. That's right. That's right.
We were going to play Transatlanticism in its entirety.
And then the Blue Album by Weezer.
And they were going to cover it. Yeah, yeah. Wow, that would have been one hell of a show. A lot more percussion on that, on the Blue Album. Yeah, yeah, totally, totally. You guys could have done
cover
it.
My Name is Jonas.
Yeah, we should.
You should do that.
But like, dress up like the Jonas Brothers when we do it.
Have you seen that one? The one Jonas is like a, you know, bodybuilding now.
No. Oh,
yeah, he's like posting pictures of himself on like Instagram and stuff.
What's that?
That's
like?
Something that has to stop, right? Like the selfie pictures of like. Of famous people like just taking pictures of their bodies and stuff now.
Val Kilmer.
Just
Val
crazy.
Kilmer
have,
is
have you seen his selfies?
Horrifying
look
these
up
days.
Val Kilmer selfies. Like his girlfriend.
He's actually doing that?
Yeah.
His girlfriend Becky kind of turned us on to these. And when I say turned on,
we were
I mean it.
Extremely aroused.
No, it's just they're the most awkward selfies I think I've ever seen.
Well, they've got to be. That guy is so bloated. Now.
He's
so
waterlogged.
Bloated.
He's just been soaking in a bathtub for the last
He's had my heart ever God. Since Willow.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's great. He's wonderful. Top secret. I mean, come on. You can't beat that shit. But like, holy crap. Get a handle on the drinking, man. Because
that's it?
Oh, I think that's definitely it. It's either he's drinking a lot or he's eating fast food for every fucking meal. You know? It's one of the two. It's one of the two, and it can't be both. Well, it could be both.
I think it would be more because it's kind of. Although it is like, it's not. You know, he's not huge. He's not like huge.
He's just.
It's like tight.
Bloated.
His skin is.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry,
he's just
Val.
Bloated.
Jesus,
man.
We're just the shit talkers of celebrities. Yeah. That's all we're doing.
Sorry, Val.
That's what we're doing today, man. Yeah. Yeah. Are you looking up a picture of him right now?
I can.
Yeah, would you?
I'll
please?
Do it while you guys continue.
Okay,
we'll come back.
Okay. So you guys have been working on this album for a little while. How long has it been since the last one came out?
We put out the last one halfway into 2011.
Okay. Was that when you came on the show? Was that?
I think so. Yeah.
Was Valley kind of a new album at that time?
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's been a while.
It has been a while.
Yeah.
And I think we would have put out something a hell of a lot sooner had we not like integrated a fourth member into the band.
Oh, right. I noticed that. I know that guy.
Sam. You know Sam?
Yeah, I met him at Sasquatch. We hung out for a long time. So I didn't even know he was in Ravenna Woods.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe he did tell me. I don't know. I blacked out like 8 or 9 times during that weekend. So, yeah, but Sam's a great dude, and he's a fabulous musician, too.
Yeah,
so is he playing guitar with you guys then?
No, he's playing piano.
Oh, he is? Wow,
he's playing
keys, okay.
And hopefully he'll be doing some trumpet as well. Live and uh-huh. and some bass. He's
oh, cool!
Some bass too.
Right on.
Yeah.
He plays trumpet too.
Yeah, yeah.
Man,
he's an asshole.
He's versatile. Just, he's an asshole. he's one of those guys that can just play anything, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those people are assholes. Yeah. I got a couple friends like that. It just pisses me off.
We've got to introduce an instrument that we know he'll bomb at. Just to make ourselves feel better.
Saxophone.
Sax.
He'll I feel like
no,
he can rip
I
a saxophone
you
apart.
Within 3 days, he'll be shredding on a saxophone, yeah. And then we'll be totally screwed.
Because yeah.
Yeah, because saxophone's not cool.
Sax. No, sax is back.
He'll be trying to put sax parts in like every Ravenna song.
what was the thing he said outside about sax? Like
how it's a terrible nickname.
A terrible nickname. Yeah. 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 Terrible nickname.
Do the thing.
Oh, yeah. Quit hitting the table, man. Yeah. My mic right here gets a lot of, like, it absorbs all sounds.
It's the all
so, yeah. Quiet it down, bro. Yeah. But we were talking a little bit about this. I wanted you guys to mention this, too. The guy in the movie The Lost Boys, the sax player in the movie The Lost Boys,
yeah.
The dude with the huge chain around his neck. He's like
shirtless.
A bodybuilder.
Yeah.
And he's just playing the sax, the tenor sax, right?
Yeah, or is it alto?
The alto. The tenor is the big one.
Oh, wait.
Right.
What is that? Yeah,
alto.
I think so.
Alto's high. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
But he's playing that thing with one hand, pumping a fist, and you know, moving his hips with a giant chain around his neck. But you guys say he's still
kicking,
working it.
Man.
Yeah,
he's
apparently
kicking.
That guy.
If you Google. Lost as you Google Lost Boys sax player, it fills itself in after like 4 letters.
I'm sure it does.
Funny side story. The you know the band Champagne.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know any of the guys in there?
No, I don't think so.
Well, Mark is there's the two MCs and then there's the producer like beatmaker guy,
uh-huh.
Mark Gajadar, an awesome dude. He used to play in the band Blood Brothers. He's the drummer in Blood Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
A long time ago, him and I were playing in this project and we'd like practice really late at night and then, you know, have beers afterwards. And he was so obsessed with the sax, like the comedy of the sax man.
Yeah,
Lost
yeah,
Boys,
yeah.
That we'd just watch that. We'd have beers and just watch that part on repeat. No joke.
Oh, you lead such a sad existence sometimes.
No clothes. Fully oiled.
And just pumping iron as you're watching it too. You're just lifting weights.
And
you're
when
like,
I
that's
had
the
a
goal.
Couple beers,
that's
I meant
the goal.
Protein shakes. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was our idol.
Yeah.
Is my.
But
idol.
He's like you guys were saying, Brantley. You were saying that he has like a solo.
Yeah.
He does like acoustic songs now or something.
He's just going it alone these days.
Man, poor guy.
He's so lonely. There's pictures of like his album covers are like him propped up like next to an old oak. Like a nice tree. him and an acoustic guitar.
That's a good question for you guys. Do you guys think that you'll ever get to the point as a band where you just like the cover is just going to be Chris with his guitar
and like his
on the cover
shirt unbuttoned.
Like the album name's going to be Black and White or mm-hmm. something like
oh,
that, you
like,
know?
And it's exclusively in Starbucks.
It's yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. For sale in Starbucks.
I give you permission to beat me to death.
Yeah.
Just covering jazz standards.
I'll take it. I won't even make a point.
Jazz standards and Sting songs.
Yes.
That's all you're
I'll
covering.
I'll take a mocha frappuccino and...
And a copy of whatever the fuck that is.
Yeah,
that
Ravenna
is
Woods,
gorgeous.
Black and White. Yeah, yeah. Well, congratulations on the new album, you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. You've got a couple videos that are coming out as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In support.
We've got 2 finished music videos and 1 that's like kind of in pre-production.
Yeah.
I guess you'd say.
Can we talk about the one that's like it's finished, right? The one for Border Animals.
Border Animals. Yeah, absolutely.
We're gonna be featuring that song here in a little bit, but So you guys, will you explain the premise of this video? Because it's only like snippets that you guys are releasing right now, but it looks really super interesting.
Thank you. So what happened is we know this really awesome director by the name of Blaine Ludi. He's with a production company now called Super Frog Saves Tokyo. Oh,
Super Frog Saves Super Tokyo. Frog Saves. Yeah, something like that.
And he's got so many awesome ideas, and he's shot two music videos for us before, one for In the World and one for A Devil's Coming, and this was his for the he came up with the idea and we just kind of ran with it.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Did he approach you guys about it?
No, I mean when we put out our first album, he approached us out of the blue. Was just like, "Hi, you know, I'm a director. I want to do a music video." We didn't know anything about him.
We didn't know till we got there what it was going to be like. I was picturing handy cam and like
right
and on the first one.
Yeah, on the first
and he has
video,
like a red. You know, like he has just all the sliders, for days. Just like a whole crew. You know, he's really professional and awesome. And
did you guys have to pay for that?
No, he did. He
financed the whole thing.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, we cover like basic costs.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
But
craft foods, right, table and, right, and stuff like that. Yeah.
But he's been, I mean, we've been super, like I was thinking about it. We've talked about this fairly often, but we're really, really, really lucky because we've just had a lot of people who've come to Ravenna and offered like their creative services for music videos and like photographs and just graphic art, all sorts of stuff like that for free.
That's
just
awesome.
Who just
want
to be part of the project, which is like, we've gotten really lucky.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So he comes to you for this, or you guys went to him for this next video.
Yeah. So, you know, we've worked with him a bunch before and we knew we've been working on this record for a while. And so I went to him and was like, you know, we want to start trying to plan out a new music video. And
you just give him the record and say, "Hey, think up something for one of these songs."
We gave him a few songs.
Okay.
And then kind of landed on Border Animals. And at first, we kind of shot around this other idea. Then he just out of the blue was like, "Okay, I found a taxidermy museum in where is it?
Like Puyallup?
Puyallup, yeah.
Wow.
And he's like, "We're gonna rent it out," and he just had the whole vision. I mean,
how do you find this place? Did he just go and like scout locations? Yeah. Is that what he does?
Yeah, ingenuity. That's what he does.
He's like, that's serious stuff.
Yeah. And he went and talked to the guy, found out how much can we rent this place out for? It was $1,000 for one day.
Wow.
It was very weird.
Oh my God.
And it looks weird.
Dude. Okay, can I tell him, can we pause just to tell him the Tommy Lee story?
Yes.
The Tommy Lee thing.
But what if...
It doesn't matter if he hears.
Yeah, I guess
it's not. I'm not slamming you, Mr. Cascade, the owner of Cascade Taxidermy. I think you're a very nice gentleman. This is okay. So here's what happened. We're shooting this music video, so the basic premise, I'll really quickly, you know, is it's like a David Lynch type thing. Like, he found this, you know, this taxidermy museum, and he found this like Victorian crazy weird sofa that, like, you know, we're kind of positioned on the sofa and around the room, and it's just this single shot. The entire video is this basic, like, this one room, and it's filmed like super speed. We have to sing like blah 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 blah.
Really?
And like he takes the tape and he slows it to half speed, and so it's just like really awkward and weird looking and like basically
kind of shifty. Then it's a does it show
no, not,
up kind of shifty?
No, not fat. It's okay. Slow. So okay. Like all the movements are really like it's really creepy. Like I was like naturally when I was singing along, I was like bobbing my head, and they were like, "Dude, you can't like come here and see what that looks like." And I went into the camera and they played it back, and it looks like I'm just going like this.
Just slow mo. Just
it looks like a demon possessed bodily head.
Drunk, possessed.
Yes.
Chris Cunningham. Yeah. That's what it is. That's what it looks like.
So we're halfway. You know, we're on this couch forever, and we had played a show the night before of KXP at the Sunset. So we had like 4 hours of sleep. We all stayed at my house. We're all hungover. We're sitting on this couch.
There. Make sure that detail's in the story.
Yeah. Yes, it has to be. And the owner of the you know, his daughter is watching, and like they're like the owner's off the side, and there's a break. They cut, and the owner's like, "Hey," he like looks at me from the couch. He's like, "Hey, come here, come here." And I was like, kind of looking around, like, and he kept beckoning me over, so I run over, and he goes, "Hey, man." Oh, earlier, sorry, this is pertinent. Earlier, he told me I look exactly like Tommy Lee from Motley Crue.
Tommy Lee, the drummer from Motley Crue.
He told me I looked exactly.
You do look a little bit like it. You do look a little like like him.
Yeah, you look exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so he beckons me over, and he goes, "Hey, He's like, "I called my buddy up. And I told him that this band's recording a music video here, and that it's Tommy Lee's little brother." I told him that you're Tommy Lee's little brother, and he shit his pants, and he's on his way down here right now to meet you. And I was like, "Oh man, why'd you do that?" And he's like, "So all you gotta do when he comes in here, just tell him that your name's like Brandon Lee."
Brandon Lee.
And I was like, "I don't." No, if I don't like lying like that, which isn't true. I love lying. No, just kidding. But he was like, "Just do it." He like peer pressured me into it. Honestly. Yeah, yeah. And then sure as shit, a couple minutes later, this guy shows up. And again, the owner of the place is like beckoning me over. I was like, "Crap, here it comes." And I go up to him, and he's like, the guy's like beckoning me from the side. Like, and I was like, "Hi, I'm Brandon Lee." And he was like, the guy's like, "What was that?" And I was like, "Brandon Lee." And he's like, "Lee, huh?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "Bullshit. He told me. It's not true." I was like, "What the hell just happened?
Are you serious?"
Yeah. Like, I don't even know how to, like, fully communicate this, but the man, like, nuclear bombed his own joke before I had a chance to pull it. And it was so bizarre because... Then it was like the epitome of what I was worried about.
So then, you made yourself look like an idiot.
And keep in mind, right? All of this is taking place surrounded by
dead
animals.
In various stages of deadness.
And it's smelled.
No, just kidding.
Oh, did it smell bad?
Oh,
very
bad. is not.
It's not strong enough.
There was a spot on the outside of the building where we were. Were we supposed to pee?
Just where we were peeing.
And Brantley pointed out to me that he actually brought me. He didn't say what was out there. He goes, "Chris, could you come here a second?" And I was like, "What?" He's like, "Just come here." And I follow him out, and he just takes me on the side of this building, and there is just a like 10x10 like space of like pressure blasted off flesh. Like, this is where they are, like,
what?
Blasting off the flesh of the animals.
So it's just rotting, just gross meat. You found the chum bucket.
It was horrifying.
Oh, my God. That must have smelled so bad, too.
It was a stink.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But everything, I mean, are you glad that you did it, though? That sounds like it was one hell of an experience.
Yeah.
It was fun and hilarious and weird.
Oh, my God. So, so what I've grasped from seeing, like, the little snippets of the video that I've seen, like, they're doing some sort of, like, stop-motion animation with some of the... With some of the animals too, right?
Yeah, they do come this computer graphics with the animals basically just slowly start kind of twitching and coming to life a little bit.
Whoa!
And it's kind of cool because like we've talked about this a lot. We have no idea how people are gonna really react to the video.
Because
it's kind of uncomfortable. Honestly,
really?
it's weird. It's just weird. It's not like.
It's not over. It's very subtle.
It's very subtle, and it's not. It's not like.
So is it almost kind of? Is it kind of creepy?
It is very creepy. I mean, like, it's just it's kind of uncomfortable, creepy. It's and like the face shots that it has of us. Like,
oh my God!
It's just and.
I cannot wait to see. I cannot wait to see this.
Yeah, we'll happily. But yeah, I'm not sure. I think people will like the Live Alone music video a bit better.
It's a little more.
It's way more
edible.
Yeah.
It goes down a little smoother.
So that's fantastic. So did you guys have to put money into this video too, or Did your guy just totally finance the whole thing again?
Yeah, they. I mean, we rented.
Smokes.
We rented the taxidermy museum.
Okay. Now, okay. You know? Gotcha.
But yeah,
they spent a lot of time working on it.
Yeah. Wow,
they put a lot of time.
Well, it's been going on for a while. I remember when you guys first started doing it, and you were like, you know, posting shots of the
that was back in the winter.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, let's do this right now. Let's listen to that song, Border Animals. And when we get back, we'll have Brantley and Chris back here in Dining Room Studios, version 2.0, for more of a discussion. Maybe we'll talk about your latest trip, too. I want to talk about that latest trip.
Yes.
To Africa, right?
Yeah.
You went to Africa?
Yes.
All right. So, and then Brantley will just go take a nap.
I'll take a time out.
All right, this is Border Animals, and we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us, everybody. That's
what
it's
all
about.
Is so we can eat
pizza. You know what America is about? Is about fucking classic rock themed pizzas and 3D printed guns.
Yes, please.
3D printed guns. Holy smokes. Yeah, I watched that video.
Dude, so scary.
Yeah, it is scary.
I don't know about that.
That guy freaks me out.
Yeah.
Like, I totally freaks me out.
He is.
Those things are going to fall apart, too. They already were when he was, like, building the parts, right?
Well, but the new ones, he's shooting over 600 rounds before the jam on an assault rifle. So, I mean, like, I was reading something else that was, like, they're speculating that, like, within 10 years, like, I think like half the population would have the ability to print a fully like printed 3D gun.
That's so not right.
That's horrifying.
Yeah.
And like
yeah.
his whole, I don't remember from that, like, I think, did you see
the Yeah, yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And how he's like, I'm just doing it to end the argument on gun control by rendering it obsolete. You know, it's like,
yeah.
Okay.
Great idea, guy. Great idea. Yeah. Holy shit. Welcome back to the show, everybody.
Hello.
Oh, hi.
Great spot to come back. Wow. Mm-hmm. Man. Yeah, if you haven't seen, no matter what side of the gun debate you are on, if you haven't seen that video about the 3D printed guns, you should go and check it out right now. Because it is, for somebody, you know, like I would figure most of the people that listen to this show, it's probably kind of scary. Kind of scary. And just think about it, like, you know, if there's a crazy kid out there or somebody who's crazy, they can really easily get their hands on a 3D printer.
Yeah.
You know? Totally. And, you know, this guy is trying to make it easier for them to actually get the plans, because you can just download them on the internet for free, mm-hmm. I guess, right?
Yeah.
And then just print your own gun parts, which is, and make them like fully automatic. Right? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what like the big thing was that he was doing?
Right. Yeah. Well, what he was doing was he was buying, for some reason,
and bigger clips and stuff like that.
Yeah. And well, you can buy these shells of assault rifles. Like, you can just order them online, and they're not restricted by any gun control laws.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what he's doing right now is he's printing the parts that render them, you know, useless. Like, he's printing the parts like these trigger mechanisms and like clips.
Right.
And you just, you know, slap them on and then they're automatic weapons.
Yeah, that's
3D printers are insane as by themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are crazy.
I didn't know that existed until we were driving here.
You can make your own vagina.
Yeah.
Basically the bigger problem, not the guns. The guns is small beans compared to the bigger issue, which is that we're basically teenage males are going to render the female gender obsolete.
Yeah, they're just going to die off, and it's going to be all of us by ourselves.
Yeah, just just
3D print of a vagina.
3D naked ladies.
Yep. All it'll take is one turn down of a date.
Yep. I was like, okay, fuck it. I'm just going to print it. I'll print one.
In the future, 1,000 years from now, they're going to look back on that moment. They're gonna trace it back to one like really, really smart dude that like created the plan for the, you know, the 3D printed robotic woman. It's going to be Cherry 2000 all over again. All over. Yeah.
Amazing.
With better computer graphics.
Mm-hmm.
But welcome back.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway, let's switch the subject. That was Border Animals by the band Ravenna Woods. And this album is not out yet, and we're not really saying the release date either, right?
Yeah, we're just gonna but let's just say that
it's coming.
It's gonna be after October and before Christmas.
That's the worst.
October.
You just really narrowed it down.
Yeah.
After October, before December. You're like, no, that's worse.
That makes it worse.
Oh, yeah.
I'm bad at this.
You figure it out. It's fairly easy to figure out now. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to happen.
Day drunk. Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the great idea. Get Cunningham day drunk, put a microphone in front of his face.
So, Brantley, what do you play in the band, man?
I play many things.
Yeah.
And especially now.
You're one of the guys that can kind of pick up an instrument and
kind
just go
of.
For it.
Everything mediocrely.
You can fake it.
Nonsense. Are you the guy that plays the toy piano?
On occasion, yeah.
Yeah.
Cunningham and I both do a little toy piano, but in the past, Valley, there's a lot of toy piano on that album.
Man. And that sound is so distinctive too.
We didn't use any of it. Oh, no, we did.
Yeah.
We did.
Did you?
Yeah.
On this
in
one.
Live it's Alone, there's
Centralia.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
In Centralia. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. Cool.
But with this album, I got to play a lot more. I get to play electric guitar now, which is really fun.
Awesome. Awesome.
And synths and, you know.
So did you guys really ramp it up for this album then? I mean, it
we
sounds
did. It was
like
kind of an accident.
Like
though.
A lot more going on.
Yeah. I think when Sam stepped through the door and introduced piano, we kind of, it started changing a little bit, and then it was just felt easier to incorporate
there was
new stuff.
There was no, for the first two records, I mean, it started as this really stripped down idea, and it was all centered around this very like, okay, what can we do with just this like teeny amount of shit? And
right.
It was kind of, and then it was like, okay, well, now that we're bringing a fourth guy into it, it's like, do we we were fighting to keep it simple.
It also let go of the,
like, why would you?
It let go of the like the weight of Cunningham having to drive everything.
Okay.
So there's low end and there's another element that's constantly moving.
Yeah, because you're gonna have a bass now too.
So
right?
it kind of just happened.
Yeah. It's, now, what was the thought behind bringing another member in? Because that's a kind of a difficult decision, right?
Yeah,
that's been around for a while.
It happened accidentally. I mean, we brought him on. So we met him on tour in New Mexico. He was living in New Mexico, and we instantly kind of connected with him. And he was already planning to move up to Seattle, and so he moved up to Seattle. And then in 2012, we went on a tour and he came with us just to help out like roadie and drive and stuff. And, we were playing a showcase, excuse me. We're playing a showcase for, ABC, the network. And, it's kind of a funny story. Like, okay, so they wanted a song from us, an original song. Mm-hmm. And so Ravenna wrote a song and we gave it to
him. For ABC?
Yeah. Yeah, they wanted to kind of have in like a catalog so they could pull it out and use it in one of the shows. And so we kind of put this Ravenna song together, and it was too much. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah,
song.
Yeah.
It's on the record actually. It's called Dark. And so I just did a moment of like, okay, well, instead of like us working to put a song together here, and I just threw him like a demo of mine because I just do a bunch of solo stuff just for fun.
Yeah.
And they instantly were like, that's the one. So, okay, so cut to this tour. We're about to do this showcase at the ABC place. We're going to do the stripped down showcase. And we've never played that song because it's not a Ravenna Wood song. It's just a demo.
Yeah.
And right as we're pulling into the hotel the night before the showcase, I get a text from like the music producer. And she said, make sure you play that song at the showcase tomorrow.
Yeah.
And we're like, oh crap. and we pulled into a hotel and we're like, let's do this. And we just like, we're cranking out, like trying to figure out how to do it. And the while Sam is,
cause it's just an acoustic song that you had recorded. I mean, did it have other instruments?
A full thing.
Gotcha.
Like, and, Sam, as we're like trying to learn this song, we had picked up in San Francisco, this really crappy little keyboard, with like speakers on it. As we're trying to work out the song, Sam was in the corner, like playing along, and he can play along with something instantly.
Yeah.
And we started like out of the corner of our ear, like hearing what he's playing. We're like, oh my, okay, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And we just like brought him over where we were working on it. And it was like, well, okay, you have to play the showcase with us.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so he played the showcase with us, and you know, that song went so well. And then for the rest of the tour, he would come up and play that song with us on stage. And then it just kind of, and then he started, I think he maybe started playing Brother on that tour too.
Yeah.
And we were like, it was so good sounding.
Yeah,
that
yeah,
it was just,
yeah.
We're like, crap. It wasn't really like a.
So it was more of just a natural fit then. It didn't really take you guys like going, well, I think we need something else.
Leaving on that tour, we hadn't even considered having a fourth bandmate.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
That's really great.
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah.
Very weird.
Well, I can't wait to hear the new lineup too. I mean, he's phenomenal. He's playing with Sean Nelson. Is he still playing with Sean Nelson?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
He's all over the place. He just showed up and just...
Yeah, just started doing
going
it.
For it. He hasn't stopped since he...
That's amazing. I really envy people that can do that, too.
He's just
especially in a new city. Like, nobody knows who you are.
Yeah.
Right? And
you
just move in, and now we're just... the show's about Sam now.
We should just call it Sam.
We call him Spram.
Yeah.
That's our nickname for Sam.
Yeah.
Yeah, he pretends he doesn't like it.
I think he doesn't like it.
No. Sometimes when we call him Spram at shows, he's like, he'll quietly be like, guys, I don't like it.
He also does like
but he's just joking.
Like angry voice. He goes, shut up.
Shut up, guys. Yeah, He, I think Sam's incapable of real anger, so he tries to practice like in the van, and he'll grit his tooth.
He's like a reverse sociopath, right?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. So Chris, you recently went on this big trip, right?
Yeah.
Down to Africa.
Yes.
Where in Africa did you go?
I went to Nairobi to visit a friend who is shooting a documentary there.
Oh, really?
She finished it up.
Wow.
And I agreed to do to score the documentary, do all the music, or do a lot of the music for it. And she's working with it's this documentary. It's about kind of social political change in Kenya, and this group of musicians who kind of are like guerrilla artists. Like they go around to more like impoverished areas, and they like play and kind of send out a social message and like get up morale. And it's, I don't know, it's really interesting. They have this kind of like whole they have this whole kind of, what's the word, like I'm completely blanking right now, but like a
circuit.
No, or something, I'm trying to say like not a manuscript, but they have like this whole plan.
Method.
What? Help me, guys.
I don't know what you're trying to say.
Oh, it's so close. I don't know. They have this idea that's this social idea called Marimasso, and it's like it's just like positive empowerment through like music, and I don't know. It's really cool. Anyway, so I came to Nairobi to meet up with her and to meet some of the musicians that she's been like filming and like working with, and just it was awesome. I like played, wrote music with them, performed with them a little bit, and then we went to. Her and I, the filmmaker and I, went to the border of Tanzania in this area called the Masai Mara.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing, just this ridiculous, amazing wildlife reserve out there. And another one of my friends is the captain of a team of rangers out there, Mark Goss.
Cool.
Really interesting history. His dad's like started the anti-poaching movement in Kenya.
Oh, wow.
And he's kind of picked up the flag and... So he mediates between like the Maasai and landowners out there, and also like keeps track of the wild animals, and like his wife, you know, radio collars like elephants, and they track their movements and stuff like that. It's really cool. So we stayed out there in tents out in the camp in Amara, and that was like insane.
And so you're traveling from village to village, like just playing music as well?
Just around Nairobi. And then we made this like ridiculous van journey out into the middle of nowhere to the Mara. But I brought my guitar with me and like played for like the village kids in the Maasai village. Uh-huh. And that was weird. They were just like, like less concerned about the music, more concerned about the 6'3" pierced tattooed white man.
Yeah. In skinny jeans, right? Yeah. You were wearing skinny jeans, right?
Oh, you better believe it. There's a couple Maasai hipsters rolling around now.
Right, yeah.
Hey, didn't you say they all kind of look a little hip?
In Nairobi?
Yeah.
Like, we're, like those musicians who like live like in the slums and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Way better dressed than us.
Really?
They look snapping. I'm serious. They look way cooler than me. I got this weird feeling that I hadn't had in a long time, and I traced it back to like junior high.
Where you're like, oh, do
that guy looks way cooler than me. Shit.
I feel that
I've made a mistake.
And I kind of
I need to go home now.
I tried to poach his sources too. I was like, what markets did you? Oh yeah, okay. And he was not readily giving up the information.
No, he's not going to give you that kind of thing. That's under lock and key. That's for sure. Well, that sounds like it was a really cool trip. How long were you down there?
Only just over 2 weeks.
Oh, okay.
It was really, I'm planning.
So you fit a lot
back.
For just a couple of weeks.
Yeah, I'm planning on. I want to go back as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I really want to go back out to the Mara. I also want to visit those musicians again. And
That's great.
Can't wait to go back.
That's great. Yeah, yeah. And what did you do during that time, Brantley?
I just cried a lot.
Just.
Babe. I just sat and
curled
dark.
Up in a ball. Babe. It's like.
I stopped showering and using the toilet. just wrote poetry.
You went down to the taxidermy place and just crapped in the chum pile.
Yeah.
Ew, yeah. Man.
I spent a lot of time there. Actually,
I feel like it would just absorb it. It would just be like, make it stronger.
I just keep on like picturing like that movie Slither.
Yes.
Where it's just like
so good.
Goo and gross.
Hunger.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So have you guys seen any good Brantley, you're a big horror movie fan now too, right?
On occasion.
Yeah.
Oh, no, shit.
Chris kind of got you into
well,
it.
Well, I mean, I was never opposed.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
When we first started hanging out, he just kind of forced it on me.
Yeah.
And yeah, it became like a thing. A real life thing.
Can we talk about really quick what makes like why, I mean, because I know you, Aaron, are a horror movie buff, and like what makes, why are they so awesome for you?
I don't know.
Out of curiosity.
You know, that's a really good question. I think it's the fear, for lack of a better term, factor. Fear factor. I didn't want
to
say that. But
Joe Rogan?
It is.
You're scared of Joe Rogan?
I am definitely. If you've ever seen that man in real life, he is a scary dude.
I can't imagine. I mean,
he will crush your face with his
He looks mean.
Hand.
We call him MVPs.
Yeah. Man bear paws.
Man bear paws. Yeah. He's definitely got some man bear paws.
What?
Oh, don't say that. No, that's bad. That's bad.
He said it.
I softened it up.
But yeah, I think it's somewhat like the fear, you know, that it gives you. It gives you kind of a thrill, you know. It's like that bad that scary dream that I had the other night about frickin' Robert Englund in my bed. Like, and I had to turn on the light. Like, I woke up the next day and I was like, ugh. You know, that was kind of strange. It was kind of strange. It was kind of neat, you know, to experience that fear again.
Right.
You know, for
right.
some for a strange reason. I don't know why, but yeah. And also, I'm really a huge fan of special effects. Like when they're like gore and stuff like
thing.
That. Like
the
yeah,
thing.
when it's like a real thing that they're doing in the movie, like you know, with like. Props and they're
dude,
you know they've got fake spikes going through people's head.
Yeah, or yeah,
yeah. Me too. Because
you know,
now it's all like it's all digital and stuff. Like you watch that Rambo movie is like a perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
The latest Rambo movie, right? Did you guys ever see that?
I saw it.
It was all digital blood.
Really?
And so like you can see where like they can't get it like spot on the body in each frame, so it kind of moves around a little bit. Like the
weird.
Yeah, it just looks so
very
stupid.
Very silly.
Just looks so stupid. I was a huge fan of Fangoria magazine too. Like
nice.
I would look at that all the time in high school.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I always wanted to do something like that, but I was never good. Never good enough at it. Yeah. But those are things that kind of, you know,
it's interesting.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah, I've spent a lot of time thinking about it because I mean, like it drives, for instance, like my parents insane. Like,
right, they don't like it. They don't like it at all.
I mean, my dad is he loves horror movies and zombie movies. I mean, he loves it, but he tries to fight it because he doesn't want he's opposed to like he thinks you know that it fills your head full of negative stuff and he doesn't like he's like I got enough shit going on in here like I don't want dead closing my eyes and seeing dead people and but I think I don't know there's something with me personally like where that stuff like horror movies and stuff like that are like it's like the epitome of what makes me like excited it's just just on a very stripped down level, like man, creepy stuff with art in general.
The eerie aspect of it is more like what I pursue in it. Like whether it be like something I'm reading or looking at or listening to or watching, like that, like eerie
surreal,
feeling.
Eerie.
Yeah. Is, I don't know.
We just did these new photo shoots, for Ravenna. And one of them is this shot. The photographer is outside of our house and she shot up. We were like putting our head out a window and like one of the shots is just my arms kind of scrabbling out the window, but the shot is in black and white and it just looks so creepy. But immediately I'm just like, oh, it's got a shirt. We got to make it a shirt. I mean, it just, it looks so freaking creepy.
Make it
hats,
a
hat.
Hats. Hats and beanies.
That's it. Make it a hat.
Beanie.
print, cut, print, hat.
What is it for you, Brantley? What draws you to the horror genre?
I think it's just that. I mean, Chris and I didn't like pursue horror movies as much before, but I definitely appreciated the like eerie aspect of stuff musically, definitely lyrically and stuff. And it's just another outlet for that. And I like the like calmer moments in horror movies. You know, like the
when you're just the like time in between. It's like it's not happening.
The
right
dead
now.
Time is I love that.
Well, still, it's like that. Those points in a good horror movie are what really build tension. Right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's not totally just like the act happening. It's like the build up.
That's why
to
I love
that,
like Paranormal Activity, at least like the first two.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
People shit on those movies, but I just love that like vibe. Right. Rather than like, I don't need something like a werewolf to like bite someone's dick off for it to be good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't know. That's
well, that's why I liked Blair Witch. Like I was a fan of Blair Witch Project.
Yeah,
it was good. Yeah. And it was like it was done so well, and it was like it built tension.
When they're in the tent and they hear the noises and you can't quite make them out, it's like, whoa,
right.
What the, and that's I think another good, I was just thinking about more. It's like it's something about for me, it's like that shade of like bent reality where like in the light of day you're like, that can't that's not real.
Right.
But like you can be alone and be like, fuck, maybe for the first time in history ever, it's gonna happen to me. And like, I just love that. Like,
right,
people are always gonna be scared of shit. Yeah. Like, you're never even like tough people are gonna be like, you could probably under the right circumstances like make them think that they're like experiencing a haunting or something. You know, like.
So what's this? What's the new? What? Because I haven't been to a movie in so long, and it's killing me.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to go and see that one. What's
the Conjuring?
The Conjuring. Oh yeah. I keep on forgetting what it's called.
It is so good.
Yeah.
Seriously,
what everybody is saying. Like everybody is saying that's super creepy and super great.
It's the scariest horror movie I've seen in the last.
What makes it the scariest horror movie that you've seen?
Okay.
What would be your scariest? What would be at the top of the list?
I mean,
I think we're having the same conversation.
I know. God, listen to us.
Yeah, yeah.
We should just screw the radio show and bring DVD dub video dubs.
We gotta wait until the media room is done.
We'll have a horror movie. We can do like a Mystery Science 3000 thing.
That would be fun. I want to do that.
Yes.
I want to do that.
I want to do that.
Anyways, yeah. I mean, I think that there's a few
Well, scariest movie that you can think of.
Right. I mean, I was...
Besides The Conjuring.
Like, okay. This is going to... I mean, I'm sure people are going to catch flack with this, but... Or I'm going to catch flack from people, but... There's a few... In the Mouth of Madness is really freaky.
Okay. I've never seen that one.
The Thing... Okay, yeah. I'll write these down. I'm sure you've seen The Thing with Kurt Russell.
Yes.
That
movie, of course.
That's just like a classic.
Uh-huh.
You know, the new Dawn of the Dead, like the remake of the Dawn of the Dead, I thought was pretty, I mean, like I've seen it so many times that it has no impact on me anymore, but the first time I saw it, it scared
the first like 10 minutes of that movie.
Are brilliant.
Brilliant.
Oh yeah.
It has the best suburban outbreak.
You're talking about
scene.
The one, the Dawn of the Dead, that's the first one, right? Or wait, what was... No, that's Night of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Night of the Living Dead.
It takes place in a mall.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You thought the remake was better than... Well, the original was pretty cheese.
Yeah.
I mean, the remake has cheese in it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's there's
King Rames,
there's parts there of it is that are, an element of, like, supreme terror in the remake of Dawn of the Dead, where, like, for instance, like, when they go to the gun shop... Where this guy Andy is held out, and then they're trying to make their way back to the mall through the sewers, and like the zombies are just falling through the sewer grates and like chasing after him, and they're fast, you know, like, and I mean, there's something about that, and like the suburban scene in the beginning where the outbreak is just going, and the ambulances and police, and there's car accidents everywhere, and there's people like pinned in the back of buses, and it's just like, I don't know, there's something about that.
That's pretty creepy. Woo. Yeah. Yeah.
And
what about you? What about Brantley? Brantley, what's the top of your list for horror movies?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I agree with
it's
the Dawn
Halloween
of the Dead thing.
In September.
The Dawn of the Dead remake is like, it's definitely like top.
Yeah, yeah. You big zombie tier. Guy?
Yes. Okay. Dawn of the Dead remake is, I've watched it so many times that it's like bedtime movie for me. But another one that is that as well, I love it so dearly, is The Shining. Is one of those movies that, I just keep it on my computer because I watch it.
Really?
You know, just casually all the time.
The Shining?
Yeah.
Really?
And I
read. See, I find that one really hard because it feels so long. There's all that dead space
in
there too. Like we were talking about, it builds tension.
I think that's what I like about it. It's the vibe and the way that it's shot. It's like crystal clear and super weird looking.
Yeah.
I read that book recently actually too.
What did you think of the book?
It's very long. Mm-hmm. There's chunks of Stephen King that you could just rip out straight out of the middle and it wouldn't fucking matter.
Yeah, totally.
But
The
Shining is, I love that movie.
Right on. Yeah. I think mine scariest movie for me, I think ever, would have to be The Ring.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a great
the
one. Ring's
that good. One really freaked me out. Like and it to the point where I was like I had to show my friends, like all my friends, that movie when it came out on video. And I would just sit there and watch it with them. And, you know, we'd make sure all the lights were off and stuff. And at points, like, you could just see when people would be like, all right, we can't be in the dark anymore. Like, the darkness is not working for me and have to, like, turn good. On the lights.
I remember having, I was very scared of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I was younger, too. So I hadn't, like, fully, like, I wasn't watching it like to be like I can't wait for this to be a great horror movie. I was just watching it.
I was in college, man, and I still had to. I had to flip on the lights.
It has the thing that's so amazing about that movie to me is like the different. They have this perfect recipe like with the mythology behind the main bad thing. Uh-huh. You know, like it doesn't give away like. You never know, like, where the hell, like, what she is, really. Mm-hmm, and, but there's, I love, like, the symbolism and the mythology of, like, her family on, like, a San Juan Island and this community, this whole community got sick when she was there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, dude. Yeah. Love the backstory in that movie.
Yeah, so that cool. one, that one, and then 28 Days Later.
Yeah, mm-hmm. great.
Amazing zombie flick.
Danny Boyle is an awesome director. Yeah. We might have talked about this in the last one, which would be sad if we
didn't. It was like 2 years ago, so it's okay, you know, it's fine. Yeah.
The beginning scene of 28 Weeks Later.
Yes, it's fantastic.
That's the only. Danny Boyle directed the first 20 minutes of the movie. Oh my God.
I still like that whole movie. But yeah, that first scene in 28 Weeks Later is.
That's. It kind of ruined the rest of the movie for me because that was so intense.
Yeah, it was really. It was super intense. Yeah. The new Thing was really good, too.
I loved it.
The remake of The Thing was awesome. It wasn't a remake, a prequel, I guess.
But, yeah, prequel, yeah. And people were. It was annoying the crap out of me because people were. I remember I was watching, like, reading professional reviews online, like real reviews that were saying, like, you know, like, you can't remake this movie. And it's like, do you really not understand? You really not understand this is a prequel? Like, how did...
Yeah, it ends with the opening scene of the... Come on!
Yeah. I thought they did a great job. Even the CGI and stuff. Yeah.
There's something about movies, and this goes back to what we talked about last time, too, Chris, is like 30 Days of Night.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
There's something with movies that take place up in, like, Antarctica, or I guess Antarctica would be down, but...
Right.
You know, in the
Well,
in
that
the
is
poles.
Where the thing takes place, isn't it?
Antarctica? Is it Antarctica or is it up in the, I can't remember.
Is
it the North Pole or South Pole? I can't remember either.
I think it might be South Pole. I think
30 Days
of
Night is Alaska?
Is Alaska,
Barrow, Alaska.
Yeah, yeah. But there's something about that, like, it's so desolate. You know, and this goes back to The Shining, too. It's like, there's nothing around you. Like, you can't get away from
Absolutely.
This, right? You're stuck.
Yeah.
You're just quiet and it's just you and a whole shit ton of nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And evil.
It's so scary.
So creepy.
You guys want to go on a camping trip and just freak each other out.
Let's go camping in the middle of the winter somewhere up in the Cascades.
Yeah. I'll hire a couple character actors to scare the shit out of us.
Yeah. No, don't do
dude,
that.
You wake
don't
up with Robert Englund in your sleeping bag.
Oh, God.
He'd probably
do it for like $200.
It wouldn't cost that much. It wouldn't cost that much.
He'd do it for $200.
Oh, and like Robert. Groceries or something.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, buy me so a gallon mean. Of milk. Buy me a gallon of milk. Give me $250. And I'm there. I'm there. All I that's when is, it, that's yeah. in his rider. He needs a gallon yeah. of milk.
All I eat yeah. is cereal, so it doesn't matter. Just
Oh, God. Poor Robert Englund.
Sorry,
So the Conjuring. Brantley, did you yeah. see the Conjuring?
I haven't. I'm in talks of seeing it tonight. Actually.
Okay. Yeah. Cool.
So if I
so don't give anything away because I still want to see it too. But
I won't. But you asked yeah. earlier what yeah, makes yeah. it so scary,
right?
And I think that the director, like the antagonist of the movie. I mean, there's a lot of different things, but like. The way, okay, first of all, you guys are talking about building tension and like that.
Yeah,
is,
yeah.
This
yeah.
is like the Mona Lisa of that in this movie. And also the bad forces, like the characters that are the bad forces
yeah.
are, especially the main one, are so, it's like, it's the embodiment of my of that primitive fear that you had yeah. like when you were a kid, you know, like, and you were like, your parents were across the hall, but you were like in your room, and for some reason you were like convinced that something was gonna like take you, you know,
yeah,
like
yeah.
they nailed what this thing looks like.
Uh-huh.
Psychotic malevolence, you
oh
know?
My God,
just that's what it is. It's just it, when you see it, you're like, your hair stands up and you're just fuck, like it's they nailed it.
Oh, that's so. Yeah. That sounds really cool. I want to see that. Now you're excited. Now you're definitely going.
I'm
tonight,
scared.
Right?
Yeah, I'm very yeah. scared.
I'm getting chills just thinking about it.
Actually, that's me blowing from across the room.
Yeah. It smells like eggs. I can't figure it out.
I had a lot of eggs.
Hey, well, thank you guys so much for stopping by. This has been a real treat talking with you. And the
thank
new
you.
Album.
Yeah, yeah.
It's awesome. And can't wait to get to, you know, let us know when the release date is.
It's, obviously. You know, it's yeah. going to happen, apparently.
It's going to happen
that's
one
I'm,
of these
that's
days.
What I'm told.
Yeah. And you can find out more about Ravenna Woods at ravennawoods.net and go and keep in touch with them on Facebook and Twitter, right?
Oh, yeah.
You
we
guys
tweet.
Are on the...
Oh. We get Tweety.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're Tweeties. Totally. I think I follow you guys on Twitter.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
not, I will.
Yeah, I think we follow each other on Twitter.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, it's been a treat having you guys, Chris and Brantley. Thank you so much.
Thank
any,
you.
Any shows coming up that we need to plug?
No.
No, we don't have anything going on except for, you know, the release show, which will be in late fall.
Uh-huh. Somewhere between October and Christmas.
Exactly. Even a tighter...
Yeah, you could really narrow it down.
You don't need a bass player. Get that, man. Get the low growl. All right, well, we're going to go out today with the song Live Alone off of the unreleased Ravenna Woods album, The Jackals. And we'll be back next week with Cody Chestnut, who's coming to town playing the Neptune. And we'll be talking with him, having a good time. And once again, thanks you guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks
you.
For coming. Let's go see a movie.
Yes,
let's
please.
Do, shall we? All right. We'll be back next week. Have a good one, everybody. Kicking out the door of my tomb and falling down the stairs. Tried to keep my head. Friends.
cause I'm living in a magic world. I'm a bitch, he's the richest girl, so the love I give is poor. Live alone. Whoa. Just live alone and lock your doors. Just live alone and lock your doors. Just live alone and lock your doors. Because there's something terrible happening.